All rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Joseph L. Toth presiding. All locations before this court draw near and will be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable.
Good morning, everyone. I am Judge Toth, and I am joined by Judge Falvey to my right and Judge Lauer to my left. We are convened today to consider arguments in the matter of Charles G. Loomis versus Douglas A. Collins, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, case number 23-4348. I've received word that Mr. Loomis is in the courtroom. Is that okay? Welcome. Thank you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for your service. Will counsel, beginning with the appellant's counsel, please enter your appearance for our record.
Good morning, Your Honors. Grace Hurley for the appellant. I'm joined by Amy Odom. We are both from Chisholm, Chisholm, and Kilpatrick.
Good morning.
Good morning, Edmund Pittman for the secretary, and along with me is Dustin Pielis.
Good morning. Would appellant's counsel like to reserve time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor.
So noted. Okay, and you can proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. The Secretary's argument in this case hinges on one point. The course Mr. Loomis seeks to enroll in is not offered by an institution of higher learning, and so that course cannot be deemed approved for purposes of education benefits. The Secretary is wrong. His position ignores Congress's removal of the requirement that a course be offered by an institution of higher learning. His position is contrary to his own regulations, which recognize that an institution of higher learning and a flight school are two different things. And his position is contrary to the very purpose of the post-9/11 GI Bill. Mr. Loomis, who served 20 years in our country's Air Force, including deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan, has shown that the course he seeks to enroll in is necessary to achieving his desired vocational objective. He has also shown that the school offering the course has a certificate from the FAA. This is what the post-9/11 GI Bill contemplates. And so we would ask this court to remand Mr. Loomis's case for VA to make the necessary findings of fact in the first instance on whether his course can be deemed approved for post-9/11 GI Bill purposes. And we would ask this court to invalidate VA's regulation 2142.52 as it is contrary to the statutes involved in this case.
So counsel, you know, obviously with GI Bill cases, I mean, everything's complex and interrelates, and kind of getting to the bottom of it usually involves sort of sorting out how stuff interrelates. I want to start with 3034D. What role does that serve?
So 3034D applies only to veterans who are seeking a commercial pilot license. We see that from the plain language of in 3034D2, I believe it is, where the facial language speaks to meeting the medical requirements of.
It applies, obviously, it's Montgomery chapter 30. Does it also, I mean, that's also a 9/11, a post-9/11 provision as well?
Yes, it is. Because section 3313, chapter 33, says that a program of education is approved for purposes of this chapter, chapter 33, if it is approved under chapter 30. And so in that way, we see how chapter 30 approved programs and approval criteria can work their way into chapter 33. So yes, it does apply in chapter 33 as well, Your Honor.
Okay. So then next is 3672. What role does that play?
3672 expanded the scope of flight training benefits available to veterans. So if we look at first, we had 3680A, the part of the Montgomery GI Bill, and that said flight training can be approved only if it's taken at an institution of higher learning. That's Congress saying That is a recognized educational objective. You are taking, you're pursuing flight training at an institution of higher learning. That's the only time it can be approved, except as otherwise provided in this title. So that brings us to 3034D, also part of the Montgomery GI Bill. And 3034D tells us that Congress recognizes that in addition to an educational objective in the pursuit of flight training, it can be vocational. There can be a vocational objective in the pursuit of flight training. And an example that Congress gave us at that time was the pursuit of a commercial pilot license. So that's where we have, that's what's on the books when we get the post 9/11 GI Bill and the post 9/11 GI Bill amendments. And 3672 is telling us that Congress is expanding the scope of what may be recognized as a vocational objective in the pursuit of flight training. So it expands the scope beyond pursuing a commercial pilot license.
And I mean, you can guess my next question, which is what then would be the purpose of 3680 capital A?
So 3680A actually is critical to the proper application and use of benefits under 3672 because 3672, and we're arguing in this case, Mr. Loomis is seeking education benefits for a private pilot license. And so understandably, there may be a concern that that's, you know, how can we ensure that that's in pursuit of a vocational objective? 3680A, little A3, tells us that the secretary must disapprove any course that the secretary finds to be avocational or recreational in nature. And that's going to be critical when Congress expands the scope of the types of flight training that may be approved. That, you know, if we're now beyond commercial pilot license and we have a whole variance of other types of flight training that can be approved, then 3680A little A3 is going to be again critical in ensuring that even in the pursuit of these other types of flight training objectives, it's still going to be a vocational objective.
And here, the vocational objective that Mr. Loomis has is as a sensor operator. And before leaving active duty, he served as a joint terminal attack coordinator, JTAC. Is that the argument?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor. And Mr. Loomis, I think is the perfect example of the type of veteran that Congress had in mind with the post 9/11 GI Bill amendments, and in smoothing the transition for deployed service members back into civilian life, because he's looking to take the skills that he learned and used in service and apply them to a civilian job that he would be qualified for if he had a private pilot's license. And in addition to that, Mr. Loomis has already submitted evidence that his pursuit of a private pilot license is vocational in nature. It is necessary to achieve his desired vocation of a sensor operator because he relayed a statement from his employer saying, if you would like to be a sensor operator at our company, you need a private pilot license.
So, what then would be the point of 3034D then?
So 3034D would still be applying only to veterans seeking a commercial pilot license.
Right, but why would who would care? I mean, if I mean that's an extra requirement that would seem to be unnecessary. I mean, you can get you wouldn't need one under 3672 and 3680.
So yes, but if 3034 for commercial pilot license, we wouldn't go to 3672. We would only go to 3034D. And that's because there are additional requirements in 3034D not found in 3672. Those being the medical requirements and the private pilot's license. Those aren't found in 3672. I think it makes sense why they're not found in 3672, because as we're arguing, 3672 allows for the pursuit of a private pilot license. So you can't be requiring a private pilot license before a veteran has had a chance to pursue the private pilot license. So 3034D still has these additional requirements. You only go to 3034D if you are in pursuit of a commercial pilot license, and all three of those requirements have to be satisfied. There are additional requirements, but those requirements reflect that there are, you know, more stringent requirements to become a commercial pilot as opposed to receiving a private pilot license.
So let me ask you this question, counsel. Before Mr. Loomis was represented by your firm, below before the board, he argued that he was entitled to GI benefits under 3680A, small a, 3. And my question is, why isn't the appellant arguing under this provision now as an alternative? And there's evidence in the record that could be construed as meeting the requirements under that statute. But why isn't that argument before the court?
Because, Your Honor, 3680A-B is the only portion of 3680A that deals with flight training and says except as otherwise provided in this title. So I understand, you know, why the A3 would, you know, be otherwise provided in this title. But the problem is that we have to start with 3672 because the applicability of that statute was raised in this case. And 3672 brings us to 3680A. So because it's subject to 3680A. And so it's not... you know, the main argument is that we start with 3672, but we are, you know, entitled to looking at 3680A and 3680A little a3 and saying, yes, it serves a vocational objective here.
So you do not view that as an alternative means of relief in this case?
I understand that it would be, yes, Your Honor. But we are just asking for findings of fact from VA on whether the requirements of 3672 could be satisfied in Mr. Loomis's case.
Okay. And the reason why you're asking the court for remand is the fact that the FAA has not approved this particular course. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. But more importantly, the reason the board denied here was that the course had not been approved by the state approving agency, which is not a requirement for the deemed approved courses. So it ended its analysis after finding that the SAA had not approved the course, but it made no findings on whether the FAA had approved the course. And under 3672, that would be part of the analysis.
Okay. And separate question. Mm-hmm. 38 CFR section 21.4263 was recently amended, and the changes went into effect March 17th, 2025, so obviously after the board decision in this case. Did you review those changes? Are you aware of the changes?
Yes, I understand. I'm just reviewing. I did review this, Your Honor. I'm just...
Okay. So my next question is, how, if at all, those changes in the regulation affect this case? Does counsel have a copy of the regulation to include the most recent changes?
Yes, Your Honor. This doesn't, though. The changes don't, from what I can see, include the deemed approved language. Oh no, I'm sorry, it does. Right. So this is still saying that to be deemed approved. And this is correct and on the right track and includes the deemed approved language. The problem is that 38 CFR 2141.50 is what includes the deemed approved language and also subjects that regulation to 2142.52, which the board would still be bound by. And 2142.52 still says that VA will not approve flight training courses for a private pilot license.
Okay, so the appellant did not consider this to be a new legal development that was required to be noted to the court through a SOLSA notice?
I'm happy to provide a supplemental pleading on if there are any changes that might have been made, but we did, I believe, note in our reply brief that the proposed amendments to the regulations would not in any meaningful way change the problem with 2142.52.
You began with noting that Congress removed, I think was your language, the IHL requirement. Mm-hmm. Specifically, where did they do that?
Yes, Your Honor. So that is in 38 U.S.C. Section 3313, which speaks generally to the allowance and payment of benefits under Chapter 33. And prior to the post 9/11 GI Bill amendments, 3313 said that a program of education is an approved program of education if it is offered by an institution of higher learning and it is approved for purposes of Chapter 30. And then 3313 was changed. Congress entirely took out the institution of higher learning requirement, and now it just says a program of education is an approved program of education if it is approved for purposes of Chapter 30. And leading up to that change, we see in the Senate report 111-346, this was the 2010 Senate report on the post 9/11 GI Bill amendments. And it was noted that individuals pursuing programs at flight training schools at that time were not eligible for assistance under the post 9/11 GI Bill. And so it was recommended that we amend Section 3313 to remove the requirement that an approved program for purposes of the post 9/11 GI Bill be offered by an institution of higher learning. So it was in contemplation of individuals being able to pursue flight training at schools other than an institution of higher learning.
Yet 3680 says it has to be, and 3672 says it's subject to 3680A.
Yes, Your Honor, but 3680A, 3680AB, which is the only subpart of 3680A that has this, it explicitly carves out an exception except as otherwise provided in this title.
Specifically provided. Except as specifically provided. So where is that specifically provided that it does not need to be an IHL?
So,
because you kind of glossed over that right now when you said it, and you glossed over it in your brief a little bit too. It didn't really address that language specifically provided.
I think we can see that in the differing choices of terms that Congress used between 3680AB and 3672, where in 3680AB, Congress explicitly uses the term institution of higher learning, whereas in 3672, it's talking about pilot schools, which must mean something else, something more than an institution of higher learning.
Well, if you look at the FAA's website, I think we take judicial notice of that maybe. And it has a list of pilot schools that includes lots of colleges and universities that have pilot schools.
Mm-hmm.
So why couldn't Congress say, you know, you can go to pilot school, but it's got to be an institution of higher learning. That doesn't seem to be incongruous to me.
If 3672 were only allowing for flight training benefits for flight training taken at
3672 really is talking not about flight training benefits. It says you can approve courses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then 3680 says talks in terms of you can't enroll in certain courses. You just can't. So it's two different things. It's almost a two-step process. The courses have to be approved or deemed approved, but certain courses, or you have to go to a certain location to get the course. They can work together, and we're supposed to read statutes to make sure they work together.
Yes, Your Honor, and again, 3680A, generally speaking, and 3672 work together in a very important way in this case. And if 3672 were read as deeming approved courses only offered at institutions of higher learning, then veterans are entitled to the exact same scope of benefits or courses that were already available under the Montgomery GI Bill. And we know from the legislative history that the Montgomery GI Bill was outmoded and reflective of peacetime service.
I see your time's up. Do you have any more questions, sir?
I just have one quick follow-up question about the amendments to CFR 21.4263. You mentioned in the reply brief that this was addressed. Could you please point me to where in the reply brief that is?
I believe it's in the footnote. Yeah, it should be in the footnote of the reply brief, Your Honor. Because
the page?
At the end, the very end.
Okay, thank you.
Just follow up, any more questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
May it please the court. Today's case is about a board decision that denied benefits for a private flight training course under 38 U.S.C. section 3680A, subsection B. The court should affirm the board decision for two main reasons. First, the plain meaning of 3672B2A clearly states that it is subject to subsection 3680A, and 3680A subsection B specifically precludes appellant's claim because it was neither taken at an institution of higher learning nor towards a standard college degree.
So, counsel, in your brief, you mentioned that there's an order of operations between the provisions. So what is the order? So just kind of set it out.
Sure. So from my understanding, the way that I read the statutes, we would begin with 3672B2A and how it cites to 3680A. From there, we would read 3680A, including subsection B. And because subsection B is not satisfied, claim would not be able to process under 3672.
What does that mean? You went through that quickly. So they would begin by looking at 3672 to whether the course itself was approved?
Deemed approved, yes.
Okay. And from there, then they would
see under,
deal with whether the enrollment, is that what you're talking about, 3680 capital A?
Correct, Your Honor, 3680A.
Okay. And why would those be different things necessarily?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. What are you referring to? It would be different.
Well, why would a course that it's otherwise be approved be disapproved on enrollment grounds?
Yes.
Right. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of overlap because the person has to be eligible to enroll, and that would part of that eligibility, I guess, would presume that the course is approved. So there is overlap, but they are. The provisions seem to address two different things, one being the course of study, and then the other being the beneficiary's eligibility for it.
Hmm. Well, from my understanding, Your Honor, 3680A addresses, in general, flight courses taken at an institution of higher learning towards a standard college degree, and it's more of a catch-all term, and that's why it applies in this matter.
Okay.
Turning to some canons of construction, if we use the ordinary meaning canon, we can prescribe the terms as they appear in the statutes, their ordinary and plain meaning. Black Law's Dictionary, the 11th edition from 2019, defines subject to as contingent upon something else or dependent upon something else. So if we read that with 3672b2a, it would state contingent upon 3680a. Furthermore, we know that statute headings give us key insight into what Congress intended. 3680A is entitled Disapproval of Enrollment in Certain Courses. So again, it's clear from here that Congress was intending.
So, I mean, I guess this is the kind of inverse of the question, you know, I asked your friend. What would then be the point of 3672B?
3672B2A and the subprovisions therein would allow for other avenues of approval. So for example, 3672B2A2, it just has to first satisfy the subject to requirements, which includes more than 3680A, but 3680A is where all roads converge in this matter. Furthermore, we can also look to the dates that the statutes were enacted. 3680A was enacted in 1996, and 3680A, subsection B, states the same thing that it stated in 1996 as it does today. Furthermore, when 3672B2A was enacted, along with the subprovisions in 2011, it specifically cited to 3680A. And Congress is presumed to know what its other statutes mean, especially ones that it cites to, such as 3680A. Furthermore, Congress uses specific words intentionally. That's why they said subject to. We know that Congress can say words such as in addition to or additionally because they did so in another flight benefits training statute, 3034, subsection D. And finally, appellant reads 3672B2A2 in a vacuum, but that cannot be the end of an entire statutory interpretation inquiry. We must look to the entire scheme. Congress said subject to 3680A for a very specific reason, and we must follow it.
I'm sorry, counsel. Can you walk us through how 3672B2A serves a purpose given the government's reading here? Walk us through it. How does it serve a purpose?
Sure, Your Honor. So 3672B2A allows for the first provisions that must be met for a course to be deemed approved, including 3680A and others such as 3675B1, B2, 3684, and 3696. They are simple requirements.
It has to be an institution of higher learning.
If it is a flight course, yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So how does it serve a purpose?
How does 3672B2A serve a purpose? It serves a purpose because it allows a method of being deemed approved as long as it meets certain requirements, such as that it's an institution of higher learning towards a senior college degree.
So does that mean the college that offers a flight training has to actually clear it with the FAA? Is that what that means? I can't just start up. If I'm a college president, I can't just start a pilot training class and just let it rip.
Yes, Your Honor, you would have to meet the FAA requirement too, because 3672B2A establishes the base filter that must be met first, including those statutes.
So the FAA serves an accreditation function.
From my understanding,
if I want to start a university in Michigan, mm-hmm. I want it to be accredited so my students can get the benefits that come from graduating from an accredited institution, I might have to go to the North Central accreditation entity to get approval for my institution, and then my graduates qualify for, or my students qualify for federally covered student loans, things like that. So for flight school, 3672 says if you're FAA accredited, that's good enough for other branches of the federal government.
From my understanding,
if you're not, then we need some state approval or VA approval of you, right? So it's the who of the accrediting process. So that's what it adds?
Yes, Your Honor. From my understanding, that is what it adds, because that provides several avenues. It's not just 3672B2A2. There's also B1, B3, B4. There are other methods that can be approved. It's not just necessarily B2A2.
But for flight schools, it is.
For flight schools, it is, from my understanding. Yes, Your Honor. If the Corps has no further questions, the Secretary.
Judge Foley, Judge Lauer.
I have the same question that I had for Appellant's Counsel regarding the recent amendments to 38 CFR Section 21.4263. Did you have a chance to review those changes?
I do not have them on my person right now, Your Honor. I apologize.
Okay. You don't have them now, but did you have a chance to review them before today?
Yes.
Okay. And how, if at all, in the government's view, does that change the regulations effect in this case?
From my recollection, it doesn't have an effect because we are still using 3680A, and 3680A subsection B is where all roads converge.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Secretary, humbly request that the court affirm the board's decision. Thank you.
When 3672 was passed, 3034D and 3680A were already on the books. Congress is aware of the statutes that it drafts, and it was certainly aware of 3680A when it was issuing 3672, as it referenced 3680A in 3672, meaning that Congress was also aware that 3680A provides for an exception as otherwise specifically provided in this title. There are, on my review of the statutes involved in this case and other extraneous statutes, there are only two in addition to 3680A that deal with the approval of flight training courses, and that's 3034 and 3672. Even though in 3034, Congress does say, in addition to what can be approved under 3680A, and we don't have that language in 3672, there's a bit of a difference because 3034 is saying it's in addition to 3680AB specifically, whereas to say in addition to what can be approved under 3680AB, but then also subject to 3680A.
So what do you say about this idea that, right, if we kind of splice out eligibility from the courses, right, that because there's three parties involved here. There's VA, there's the beneficiary, and then there's the institution, right? And it strikes me that 3672 is really between VA and the institutions, right? Because you've got these, it's a subject of sections 3675B1 and 2, right? Which basically means that the institution's got to maintain records and grades and all that. And then 3680A, which would mean that even if it's a college, it still has to, you know, the president can't just decide he wants to teach the class or she wants to teach the class or hire a friend, or right? They has to be approved by a licensing agency. And then 3684 means they, you know, if the person drops out, they have to report that to VA, so they're not making payments. And then 3696, I guess, is deceptive advertising. But these are all really between VA and the institution. It doesn't kind of speak to whether separately a beneficiary is eligible for enrollment. What do you say to that?
It doesn't speak to that. I think that 3680A3 could speak to the eligibility of the individual because it's a personalized assessment under 3680A3 because, again, that's the provision that requires that the secretary disapprove a course that is seen as vocational or recreational in nature. But that's qualified with unless the veteran submits justification that this course will be of bona fide use in the pursuit of the contemplated occupation. And so that's more of an eligibility of the veteran. That's more of a personalized assessment. And in fact, the problem with 214252 in requiring or prohibiting VA from approving the pursuit of a private pilot license is that it's essentially creating an unrebuttable presumption contrary to 3680A little a3 that a private pilot license is avocational in nature. The secretary has the authority to make that determination, but it can't be an unrebuttable presumption. The veteran has to be given under 3680A little a 3, the veteran has to be given a chance to submit justification that the course will be used, will be of bona fide use in the contemplated occupation. And more importantly here, Mr. Loomis did submit that evidence, but the board never even reached that question because it's bound by 4252, which says it can never approve the pursuit of a private pilot license unless pursued at an institution of higher learning.
Alvin,
no, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. So we'll come down and greet counsel. And.